Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to start with. Real popular psalm, right? I mean, even unbelievers know this one, right? They hear it all the time, unfortunately, at just funerals, right? But here we go. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Today I want to talk about a very important topic that really needs to be taught, not only for people on a personal level, which this is huge on a personal level, but it also needs to be taught for the health and the effectiveness of the body of Christ on this earth. The church in general. Today I want to talk about this, and you'll see how this altar call tied right in. Are you ready? I want to preach a message entitled Restoration of the Soul. Oh, restoration of the soul. Our soul, as most of you know, many of you know, we're a spirit being. We possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in an earth suit, in a physical body, right? So our soul, like I said, is made up of our mind, our will or desires, and our emotions. If the Word of God talks about restoring our soul or bringing it back to its original condition, that must mean then that it's possible for our soul, our mind, will, and emotions to be out of place or out of position from where what? It needs to be. Are you following me? In other words, if it's in the right spot, nothing needs to be restored. But this says the Lord restores my soul. Now, what is the word? What does the word restore mean? Let's define that. Listen to this. The word restore is defined as this: to return something or someone to a former condition, place, or position. Listen to this. I like this one. It also means to repair something, to return it to its original condition. How many of you need to be restored in your soul today? See, it's like restoring. You could go several different ways with this whole restore thing spiritually. One thing that came to me, it's like restoring a broken bone or setting it back in place. Anybody had a broken bone and had to have it set? Thank God I can't testify to that, but that'd be horrible. I just cringe thinking about it, don't you? Oh, my goodness. So it's like a broken bone, putting it in its original position where it's supposed to be so it can heal properly. You don't want something to heal out of place because it's really not being truly healed. I think we have a lot of Christians where the soul is out of place and they're trying to make things, come on, the best that they can. But it's not truly healed. It's really not the will of God for their life. Are you following me? Restoring is part of the healing process of God. All right? When the settings on... How many of you have a computer in here? Oh, good. Okay, yeah, right? I knew I was going to get a good answer on that one. Listen... When the settings on a computer get really messed up and outside of the normal or original settings, guess what you can do? You can restore the original settings back to what it was, listen to me, when it was first created. Oh, hallelujah. They call it resetting it back to the factory settings. God wants to restore your soul back to its factory settings when he created you. Amen? The original condition of the soul is the will of God. Say original. The original condition of the soul is the will of God. What is that? It's peace. It's joy. It's love. It's positivity. It's hope and the such like. I could go on, but you get the picture, right? So listen to this. In Psalm 23:3, it says the Lord restores our soul. The Lord restores our soul. The original position of our soul is who God created you to be in the first place. and what he created you to do. The original position of your soul contains the purpose of God for your life. So, what can put our soul out of proper position? Let's talk about that. Oh, we're going to go deep here. I wish I had a couch for y'all to lay on and I could do some therapy. This is therapy today. Are you ready for this? Listen, a pastor and a therapist. Here we go. What can knock our soul out of proper original position? Painful and hurtful experiences in our life can do that. Rejection and abandonment issues can do that in our life. Abuse of any kind can do that in our life. Disappointments can do that in our life. Grief can do that in our life. Oh, how about this? Being a people pleaser can do that to you. Word curses can do that to you. Sin can do that to you. And the list goes on. Are you kind of getting the picture of where I'm going with this? Everything that's outside of the will of God for your life can knock your soul out of place. All the negative experiences in our life can bruise, wound, and wear us down, and it can leave scars in our soul. And those scars can stay with us our entire life on this earth. Listen to me, if we don't do anything to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the restoring and healing of the soul. Think about that. People live and die on this earth without ever dealing with the pain and hurt and wounds and scars in their soul. That's why I said, I think a lot of Christians, they don't want to deal with it. So what do? They just try to make the best of things. But their best is not the will of God for their life. The unhealed scars can create, this is the picture I got, right? Like scar tissue. The unhealed scars in your soul can create layers upon the real us that God created us to be. To the point of this, are you ready? I don't even know who I am anymore. Has anybody ever felt this way in here? There are so many hurts and wounds. Who am I? God, who am I? Right? Who is the James that you created me to be? Because there's so many layers upon layers of hurts, wounds, and scars, and rejection. You tweaked your personality. You twerked things. It allowed fruit in your life. And you start to say, this isn't who I am supposed to be. Unhealed pain in our soul will cause us to wound and create more pain in other people's souls around us. Unhealed pain will always breed more pain. And I said it before, I'll say it again. Very simple phrase. Are you ready? Hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. Now, here we go. Get ready. If you have a pen and paper, write this down. I want you to notice in Psalm 23, I've never seen it before. The Holy Spirit showed something to me I've never seen before, so I'm sharing it with you today. In Psalm 23, the restoring of our soul by the Lord is right in the middle or sandwiched in between two verses. And the Holy Spirit, oh, this is good. Listen to this. He pointed this out. The sentence above it says this: the Lord leads us beside the still waters. And then underneath of it, the sentence below the Lord restoring us, it says, the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness for his sake. Have you ever noticed that before? You probably have. But listen, here's the revelation. I want you to notice that both of those sentences, above and below the restoration process, both of them say, the Lord leads us. In other words, he is willing to lead us into that healing and process. Here it is, but you must follow him. He's willing to lead, but you need to follow him to that process. If you don't follow him, nothing's going to get healed in your soul. If we don't follow him in that process to those two destinations, he cannot truly heal or restore our broken soul. What are those two destinations that he's leading us to? Ready? Number one, to still waters. He's always trying to lead us back to a place of peace. Say peace. Peace in our life. And then the second path he's always trying to lead us to is righteousness. See, we restrict him from restoring our soul when we don't follow him to that place of peace or to that place of righteousness in our life. Are you with me so far? So we must properly position ourselves to have our soul restored by the Lord. Many Christians think it's just automatic. No, there's a part that we play in this thing, or else it's never going to happen. Are you following me? Yeah. Listen to this. For his namesake, paths of righteousness, for his namesake, meaning so that he can effectively restore our soul so we can have an abundant life on this earth that Jesus went to the cross to give us. Jesus did not die for nothing. He died to give you an abundant life. You understand that, right? And secondly, why for his name's sake? What does God care, right? Here's why. Because we as Christians are ambassadors. We represent Jesus. The minute you go out of these doors and you tell people, I'm a Christian, I go to church, guess what? You represent him. So guess what? God has some skin in the game. Just like you hire someone. You hire someone on your job, and they do a horrible job. Guess what? They represent your company. You got skin in the game on how they're living. That's why companies are looking at people's Facebooks. Are you following me? Why? Because they represent that company. Right? The same is true. People here. You volunteer at the church, even down to the greeter. If someone's in a bad mood, one of our greeters are in a bad mood, a visitor comes in for the first time, guess what? You may have been having a bad day, but guess what? It's not the time to have a bad day, y'all. Because they might never return. Are you following me? So God has some skin in this game for his name's sake. So you could say it this way. God truly does care about the condition of our soul. All right? If our soul is not healed, we're going to misrepresent Jesus everywhere we go. That's what gives Christians a bad name. That's what gives Christians a bad name. All right? Look at Proverbs 4:23. Can I just get real with you guys today? Well, you know me, I'm real with you all the time, so I'm going to do it anyways. Here we go. Proverbs 4:23, and none of our greeters have done that. I'm not saying, we got great greeters. Okay, I'm just using it as an example, right? Amen. Now, Proverbs 4:23, and it says this, keep your heart, you could put the word soul in there and it does no injustice. Keep your heart or soul with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, out of your soul, spring the issues of life. I want you to notice that's plural. All the issues. So the Word of God is telling us this. Take care of your soul. Deal with the things in your soul. Deal with the wounds. Deal with the scars. Take care. You can say it this way. Ready? Take care of your garden, the garden of your heart. Deal with the issues of your heart. Because out of it, out of your heart, out of your soul, everything springs up from the condition of your heart. Everything springs up. That's where the fruit of your life comes from, the condition of your heart. The quality of your life, don't ever forget this, the quality of your life today is in direct proportion to the condition of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Now, you got to understand this. Follow me here. Remember this. The condition of our soul is our responsibility, not God's responsibility. Now, I know what some are thinking. I knew it. I pinned this thing because some are thinking, you're like, wait a minute, isn't God supposed to heal our soul? It says God restores the soul. Oh, yes, but here's the thing. Ready? We are commanded to renew our mind or soul with the Word of God, but then God is responsible for the restoring or healing of it. The restoring or the healing of the soul won't happen unless you renew your mind with the Word of God. Are you following me? So now you know why I'm such a stickler on the word. Why? Because nothing good is going to happen in your life apart from the word of God getting in your heart. So that, you got to understand the two parts. We renew our mind with the word of God, and then God heals and restores our soul. So really, it's a healing of the heart. It's a healing of the heart. It's a, you could say it this way, it's a healing of the most innermost part of who we are as a person. That is why all of the issues of our life spring from that, because your heart is who you are. That's why God says in Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would seek me. That, are you following me? That they would do my commandments. Oh, that they were bent toward obeying me, because I want them to walk in the blessing. But it's not going to happen unless your heart is right with God and you deal with the issues in your life. Now, here we go. I talked about this some time ago, but we got to come back to it because it's so important. The Holy Spirit told me to talk about it again. Now remember, the mind, say mind. The mind, or the soul, it's split up into two parts, the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. Remember me talking about this? The conscious mind is exactly that. It's conscious of what you're thinking. It's an act of your will. You're willingly thinking about something. You're focused on something by an act of your free will, right? But the subconscious mind is the part of the mind that acts and reacts without us having to process anything or willingly do anything about it. You could say it this way. The subconscious mind is like the, come on, you know I'm going to go here, the autopilot. Say autopilot. The renewing of the mind is our part in the conscious part of our mind. We're willingly getting into the word. We're willingly listening to it. We're willingly reading it. But the restoring of the soul, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me. Are you ready for this? The restoring of the soul mainly takes place in the subconscious part. The part that you react to things and you don't even know why you're reacting that way. That you know something about an autopilot? It has to be programmed. Oh. The autopilot won't do anything unless it's told what to do. Follow this localizer on the ILS approach to the runway. It's got to be programmed. You got to tune into the right frequency. All right? Many of the strongholds in our mind are in the subconscious. When we are adults, a lot of this, the strongholds in the mind are in the subconscious when we are adults, because negative things we meditate on. Say meditate. So when you're meditating on something, remember, here's what meditation is. Very simple. Meditation is prolonged focus or prolonged thought about something. And when you do that, guess what it's programming? Your autopilot, your subconscious mind. So if you're meditating on bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and all negative things, guess how you're going to react to things? Guess how the triggers are going to come out in your life? Very negative. Well, that's how you programmed your autopilot. It's just acting like what you told it to do because you meditated on it. And it went from you willingly thinking about it down into the subconscious part. So the subconscious part of our mind is the part that responds to triggers. Say triggers. So we react to something negatively, and we don't know why. Have you ever had that happen before? Just something happens, and just like a lion came out of you. Like you're ready to rip someone's head off, right? And you're like, where did this come from? Your autopilot was just doing what you told it to do. Now listen to this. Here we go. We're going to go deeper onto this thing. The subconscious part of our mind has been trained or programmed. Whether you know it or not, it has been trained as a child. And guess what? You didn't have any choice in the matter as a child. This is going to start to make sense for some of you. I said it before, but we got a lot of new people here. So listen to this. From the age of, let's just say 1 second old. Okay? From the age of 1 second old to around the 8-year-old mark is the most impressionable time as a child when it comes to the subconscious part of their mind. Because the subconscious part is wide open and there's no walls. It's being programmed. Birth to 8 years old. Now, you wonder why there's so much that the kingdom of darkness is attacking young children so much. He's trying to get into their subconscious mind to train them for evil things. Trying to mess their life up right from the word go. Are you following me? So the subconscious mind of a child in that age, it's taking everything in. Again, a child has no awareness to be able to sort out spiritual atmospheres, spoken words over them, mom and dad fighting, hearing yelling all the time, all the negativity being spoken. Are you following me? All that, it's like a can that's opened up, and everything that's being spoken, everything's just being thrown right into it, and it's programming the autopilot of that child's life. I'm telling you right now, many people, many adults are dealing with things, even from that age frame, that trained their subconscious mind for negative things. Some of the triggers and emotional problems we deal with in our life currently are from negative programming in our subconscious mind. Now, as we get older, as we got past that 8-year-old mark, we became more aware of things. We could decipher a little bit between good or evil, like, this isn't right. Are you following me? Before that time, the gates open. Boom, everything's being thrown in, okay? But as we get older, past that 8-year-old mark, we train our subconscious mind by doing something in our conscious mind, okay? Now, listen to this. Follow me. That's why they say it takes about 21 days of doing something to turn something into a habit in your life. Hello? What are you doing? You're doing something consciously, and then past that 21 days, now you start to crave to do that thing. Now you start to desire that thing. Are you following me? Whatever it is, it creates a habit. So eventually, it's making its way down to your subconscious, all right? So a habit is formed in the consciously, and then it goes into the subconscious mind. Are you all with me so far? Listen to this. Addictions. Addictions are formed from our conscious mind, doing something, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. But over time, it becomes a habit in our subconscious. And with addictions, it goes beyond that. Here's why addictions are so wicked and evil. Because now your physical body starts to crave it. Now you got the physiological aspect. So literally, your body, soul, and spirit are all tangled up, and you come into an addiction now. Are you following me? So the renewing of the mind is a conscious act of our will, and it impacts or programs our subconscious mind, or say autopilot. But have you ever felt negative emotions that keep being triggered in your life and you don't know why? Has anybody ever felt that? Maybe here's a real popular one. Are you ready? Maybe it's a specific time of the year. Just a heaviness, a depression comes upon you, and you can't seem to break free from this thing. Has anybody ever felt that? Like literally, like clockwork, every time of the year, you get to this time frame, this month, or whatever it is, and you just feel a heaviness. Like, I don't even want to be around anymore, God, right? The Holy Spirit revealed to me, that is when, are you ready for this? That is when you need Him, the Holy Spirit, to restore your soul, to break that stronghold, all right? And it primarily takes place, the breaking of that stronghold, ready for this? It primarily takes place in your subconscious mind, not your conscious mind. Oh, listen to me. The part that's programmed with something negative. The Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about the Lord restores my soul, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me. He said that restoring process primarily takes place in the subconscious part that programmed you with that negativity. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need a deep healing on the inside of us. That's the subconscious part. And only the Holy Spirit can minister to and restore and heal you in the deepest part of your soul. A stronghold is formed in our subconscious mind. And guess who likes to play on that? Demons. When there's spiritual warfare going on, when the enemy's trying to attack you, they love to play with your autopilot. They know the triggers. They know the one thing that's going to trigger you. In fact, they might motivate someone that you don't like very much, to call you or to run into you, and it ruins your day. Right? The enemy knows your triggers in your life. So the enemy plays on that subconscious bondage in your life. Oh, listen to me. Has anybody ever heard this before? They play on the subconscious part. Now, the enemy's hitting your subconscious mind and they hit your conscious mind. How do we know they hit the conscious part of your mind? Because the Bible says they throw, remember I talked about, fiery darts at you. In other words, you're aware of them and you're able to cast those down. But the moment you take hold of those fiery darts, the fire spreads into your subconscious mind. And then that gives a foothold to demons in your subconscious part. Is anybody alive today? I'll be teaching this at Harvard this afternoon. I thought I'd share it with you guys first here at Living Waters Chapel. Harvard. They need a revival, right? Listen to this. It takes the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, to truly reset or restore the soul of a person where it will truly be impactful in our life. So again, we position ourselves to be restored in our soul by, number one, what? Renewing of our mind. We consciously get into the Word. We position ourselves to hear the Word, read the Word, right? Getting the Word in our heart, which will positively impact our subconscious mind. The flow that you've been going in, the Word comes in, and it starts to say, I'm going to shift that flow. Now you want to start to do righteous things. Now you want to start to feel a shift in your life. Amen? All right, but again, many times we need that supernatural boost from the Holy Spirit to snap back or restore that soul back to its original settings, all right? Think about it. That's what the Word of God is. It's the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is our manual. This contains God's original intent and will for creating us right here. Amen? Oh, it's so good to know. So the first thing you need to know in connection to getting your soul restored by the Holy Spirit, number one, you got to have this or it's not going to happen. Are you ready? You must desire for your soul to be healed and restored. If there's no desire, there will be absolutely no progress. We got to get you into a place where you say, I'm fed up with how I'm living. I'm fed up with these negativity in my life. I'm fed up with all these things. I'm fed up with this heaviness, with this oppression. Go to Psalm 51 real quick. You got to get to the place where you're fed up with it. If we can't get you to that place, even God can't help you. He just can't. Psalm 51, why? Because he needs your cooperation. Psalm 51. See, many Christians don't want to believe that. They just want God to, just do it all. There's some steps you need to take. There, you have responsibility in the matter, right? God did not create robots. He created us with a free will to willingly follow him. Psalm 51, 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Here it is. Underline it. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Now, David had a series of very bad decisions that he made, and he fell into sin, hurt a lot of people, and that sparked off a chain reaction of negative consequences in his life. Those negative consequences caused a lot of emotional pain and wounds in David's soul. And that comes out in the book of Psalms, right? He's always crying, Lord, I'm sorry, right? I mean, he's constantly crying out to God for being sorry, right? But here's what David had. Listen to this. David had enough awareness to recognize the pain in his soul. And not only that, but he desired his soul to be healed. What a gift that is, right? To recognize it. Because I'm telling you right now, a lot of people don't recognize it, and they don't want to deal with it, especially narcissists. Are you following me? So David recognized the wounds in his soul caused a lot of pain in other people's life as well. It just didn't negatively affect him. It negatively affected other people as well. See, your pain doesn't just affect you. It's affecting people as well. Create in me a clean heart. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Here's what it means. There should be a deep joy in our heart because of our salvation, because of our relationship with God, our Creator. If that joy is not there, if you've lost that joy in your heart, there are scars, there are wounds. Your soul is out of place from where it should be. There is, come on, a disconnection somewhere, right? If there's a problem, a light switch isn't working or something like that, there's a short somewhere in the system. Sure as day, there's a problem. Well, there can't be a problem. Yeah, it is. Those switches isn't working. It's got to be somewhere. If there's no joy in your heart as a Christian, there's a short somewhere. Where is it? And let's deal with it. You need to get healed and restored. Amen? You need to get restored. You need a resetting. You need a healing of your soul to get back to that place of joy and peace in your heart. And as David had to do, you have to get back into right standing with God if need be. If it was sin, your willful sin, something you did, something you're ashamed of, right? That can keep you away, right? That can keep you in bondage. David grieved the Holy Spirit with his willful sin. David was concerned that God was going to take his presence away, that he was even going to lift off his Holy Spirit off of his life. Thank God for David's awareness of that. I'm telling you, we need, if anything, Holy Spirit, give us awareness of the problem areas in our life, right? Give me an awareness. I don't want to just keep living and everyone else is seeing my faults, but I'm not. Nothing changes if I don't see it. Amen? So again, you must have a desire for your soul to be restored. There must be a desire and a hunger for the presence of God in your life. There must be, come on, how about this? There must be a desire for an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit on this earth. Your desire to be restored and healed is the first step in the invitation process for the Holy Spirit to heal your wounded and scar-filled soul. All right? So we are expected to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We are expected to position ourselves. I like saying it that way. Position ourselves. Say, I got to position myself. Say that. I like saying that because we got to put ourselves in a position in the restoring process of the healing of the soul by renewing our mind with the Word of God, all right? The Holy Spirit uses the anointed Word of God to get in our heart. That's the main tool the Holy Spirit uses is the Word of God. That's the tool right here. If you're not getting the Word in you, you're not giving the Holy Spirit anything to work with. Now, who here? Paul, would you hire someone, right? And you would hire someone and say, go to work and do something, and you don't give them the tools to do it, or they don't bring anything. Would you hire someone without the tools? See, that's what I'm saying. We got to, if you're going to put the Holy Ghost to work, right? Yeah. If you're going to put the Holy Ghost to work, give them the tools to work with. Amen. Hallelujah. So once you have that desire to be healed in your soul, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in a process of healing. Here's what the Holy Spirit told me. Now we're going to get into some steps on how to do this. Are you ready? He said this, give me a verbal invitation to heal you. Give me a verbal invitation. Verbal, say verbal. Give him a, where it means enough to you to use your energy to say, Holy Spirit, I need you to heal and restore my soul. Yeah. If you can't even work up the energy to speak those words out of your lips, forget it. You have no energy for the whole process then. It must start with verbally inviting him. There's another aspect of this healing and restoring of the soul thing that many people don't even want to think about. The Holy Spirit revealed this to me. Ready for this? Start with the events and situations in your life that you know had a negative impact on you. Now we're going to start getting into the things that created who you are today. Are you ready? Here we go. Again, get out a pen and a paper when you're home alone, wherever you're at, in your car or whatever, and you're doing this. Start with the events and situations in your life that you know had a negative impact on you. Here's what I'm talking about. The things that are really obvious. How many of you know there's obvious things? There's some things you don't need the Holy Spirit to remember. Why? Because they stick with you every day. They're haunting you. Are you following me? Ask the Holy Spirit, ready, to reveal how each situation negatively impacted you and what kind of negative fruit it produced in your life. See, so this isn't a Lord bless me kind of a prayer. No, you're digging. Yep. You're digging. I mean, basically I'm showing you how to do inner healing on yourself with the Holy Ghost. All right, listen to me now. So again, some things you're going to know, events that happen to you, that you don't even have to ask the Holy Spirit because they're right out in front of you every day. You've been looking at them, meditating on them, and it's been a curse to you your whole life. Okay? Now, once you deal with the obvious events and situations, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal other things in your life that has wounded your soul and how it has impacted you in your life up to this point. And here's the less obvious things. How many of you know there's less obvious things that impacted us? Right? I mean, even something that you tell someone and they'll be like, what? That's bothered you your whole life? Absolutely. So even just little things. So ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me the things that aren't in my awareness or consciousness that have negatively impacted. He will show you. Okay, so lay down on your bed, wherever you're at, close your eyes, except if you're driving. Don't do this while you're driving. Don't do this while you're driving. Have a pen and a notebook ready. Close your eyes and just let the Holy Spirit guide your thoughts. Are you following me? Let him guide your thoughts and write down everything that comes to your mind. Even if it seems insignificant to you, because what I found in healing ministry, deliverance ministry, and inner healing is that a lot of times the things that people think were insignificant are really huge strongholds and key to your freedom and deliverance. All right? The Holy Spirit then revealed to me this, that he desires us to talk to him about each situation, about each negative fruit, each wound that has been produced in our life. Like, really dig in. Really talk to him. I mean, you're just a wide open canvas talking to him. You're not holding back, all right? He said this. He said, be extremely honest and vulnerable with him about it. Allow yourself to feel, ready? This is what most people don't want to do. Feel the negative emotions about that situation. Go there. You know what we call it in deliverance ministry? Bob Larson calls it this, going to the point of the pain. It's that point of the pain is the cancer. The point of the pain is that emotional cancer that's spread in your life. Are you following me? So be very honest and vulnerable with him about it. Pour your heart out to him, which includes heartfelt words and tears if need be. And this is what he said. He said, don't force it. He said, allow it to flow naturally through you as you talk to me. There's some things I've noticed in healing and deliverance ministry, inner healing. All you got to do is ask someone a question. They start talking about a painful thing in their life. And guess what? Waterfalls. Crying like a baby. Why? Because they've held on to this thing their whole life. And just being honest and open and talking about it opens their heart up. Allow it to flow. Oh, I feel the anointing. Allow it to flow naturally through you. Don't hold back your emotions. All right? It's like this. It's like releasing pressure in your heart or in your soul. Listen to this. When heartfelt words and tears flow when you're talking to the Holy Spirit, here's what happens. When I talk to people, they talk about a situation and they can't help crying. Like they'll literally say, I wasn't wanting to cry in this session. Right? Well, you are, because it's a painful situation that you never talk to anyone about. But here's what the Holy Spirit said. When the heartfelt words are spoken to him and tears begin to flow, here's what it is. It's that pain in your soul. Are you ready? Trying to find its way out. Because there's so much pressure on the inside of you. There's so much pressure. It's like pouring water, you know, down a driveway. Where's it going? It's going to try to find that crack to go through, right? Yeah. That's what emotional pain is on the inside of people. It's always trying to find its way out, and there might be little traces of it. Like you'll start talking about something and you'll feel the tears starting to come up. And what do most people do? They shut themselves down. I don't want to go there. It's too painful. Too painful to talk about. But here's what they got to understand. They got to let that pain's trying to come out. It's trying to come out. And that you're not going to be who God created you to be until you deal with that situation and let that pain come out. Sorry, I wish it was easier. I'm sorry you went through a situation like that in your life. But you now we got to deal with it, because I don't want you going your whole life being someone who you weren't created to be. The emotional pain, it's trying to come out the best that it can. It's trying to find a place of release somehow. So when we hold that in, we end up taking it out on other people. Are you following me? That's where we start to hurt other people because of our personal pain on the inside. Now, listen to this. There is a place to confess our faults to one another, right? And pray for one another, as the book of James talks about, right? We all know that one, right? Now, the key part of that is this, not only the confessing something to someone, the key is praying with them. Praying brings the healing. That's why prayer team here is so powerful and important. Amen? But listen to this. Here's the deal. If you can find a person or people that you trust, then that's a very powerful key in the kingdom of God for you to take advantage of in your life. If you don't find, if you try to talk to someone you don't trust, forget about it. It's a waste of time, because you're not going to go to the point of the pain like you should. Right. Yeah. You're going to be guarded. Right. Okay? But the Holy Spirit spoke these words to me about what I'm talking to you about here today. He said, if my people, not mine, his people, if my people can't be vulnerable to me, to the Holy Spirit, they will definitely not be vulnerable with other people. Vulnerability, this is what he said, vulnerability begins with me first, with God first. If you can't talk to an invisible God about your problem, you're not gonna let it out with someone in front of your face. Are you following me? Is this hitting home today? Isn't this powerful? Good Mother's Day message, huh? Listen to this. So the Holy Spirit is driving home the point that we really need to trust and be an open book and vulnerable to Him first and foremost. If your soul is going to be restored and healed, it can only be done when every emotional wall on the inside is broken down. Now, so you have to allow yourself. Some of these things are a little redundant, but that's by design, okay? You have to allow yourself to go to the point of the pain emotionally. That's when you know, when you get to that point of the pain, that's when you know that all the walls are down in your heart and you are being vulnerable. You're being genuine, all right? Now, what does it mean to be emotionally vulnerable? Let me give you a little definition of what emotional vulnerability is. Man, I wish I knew this when I was there, the kid's age. I've been saying that a lot, but I really mean it. Man, that would be so powerful. Listen to this. To be emotionally vulnerable means this: to be open and honest about one's feelings, thoughts, and experiences. It doesn't stop there. Listen. Even when facing the potential for rejection, shame, and embarrassment. So you're not vulnerable until you cross that line of fear of where you could be rejected. Come on, somebody. Where you could be rejected, shamed on, or embarrassed. Let me tell you this. You're never going to come to a place of love in your life unless you're vulnerable. Oh, I'm never going to love again. I've been rejected so much. You're never going to experience the fullness of love then on this earth. Are you following me? Sometimes you just got to take that chance. Are you following me? Someone needed to hear that. I don't know who, but listen to this. It's the opposite of pride. It's humility. Being vulnerable means there's a humbleness. There's a humility. We may feel shame and embarrassment for what we did, a sin, something we did, right? I get that. But we know that God will never reject us when we come to Him with pure motives, with the intent of restoring our relationship with Him. So there's no reason, listen to me, there's no reason not to be vulnerable with Him. I can see where you're probably not going to be super vulnerable with people. They've let you down. But God never gave you a reason to let you down. Now, in what came to my mind when I talked about this, listen to this. Adam and Eve, they weren't vulnerable with God after they sinned, were they? They made excuses for their shame. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And it goes on and on. Nobody took responsibility for their own works. In their own actions, they were filled with excuses. They were filled with pride. And all God wanted them to do, are you ready for this? Is for them to say, yep, I messed up. Why? Why? Why lie to God? Why not be vulnerable with Him? Amen? I mean, in fact, I respect someone more. If someone messed up, say in the church or something, If they lied to me about something or messed up, and they came to me and they said, Pastor James, I did lie. I'm sorry. Wow, my respect is going to be restored. Wow, I can trust this person now. But when someone continues on with the lie, trust is gone. You're gone. It's done. I can't trust you. Are you following me? So, are you still with me? So your soul will never be healed or restored if you never open up and take responsibility for the part in the matter. All right? So you have to get to the point in your life where you're fed up, say fed up, where you're fed up living a life full of emotional pain. Wearing a mask that's hiding all that emotional pain in your soul. You got to get to the point where you're fed up with it, or else God can't do anything. After desiring for your soul to be healed or restored, and the invitation for the Holy Spirit to reveal things, situations in your life that have negatively affected you, and the fruit of that, then the next thing is this. You need to disconnect from anything or everyone that created or maintained scars in your soul. Now, husbands and wives, don't use that as an excuse to divorce. You got to go to counseling and get some help for that. Are you following me? All right. But any kind other than that, listen, other than that, any kind of restoring or healing in your soul will not last if you're still making a provision for anyone or anything that was used in the process of wounding you or any negativity, okay? You need to change the environment. You need to change the atmosphere. You need to change from that environment and atmosphere that promoted the wounding in your soul. Real quick, go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I'm almost done. 1.5 more pages. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. John 5, 1 through 8. Says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And then whoever stepped in after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Wow, that's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he, Jesus, said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Real simple question by Jesus. How did the sick man answer it? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Jesus was such a nice guy. Still is, by the way. He's still alive. Amen? Amen. Listen, if anyone, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me about this. If anyone had wounded souls, it was the sick, lame, and blind people that were sitting around the pool of Bethesda. They were treated very poorly by other people. They were rejected by many people. The man that Jesus asked, "Do you want me to be made well?" He did. Do you notice? He never answered Jesus' question. Did you notice that? He just said, "I don't have anyone who's going to put me in the pool." Here's what happened. He felt sorry for himself. Yet at the same time, he was being emotionally vulnerable and honest with Jesus about the pool situation. Hey, I can't make it into the pool, right? But here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. The wounds in his soul caused him to avoid answering Jesus' question. Very simple question. Yes or no? Do you want to be healed? Yes or no? It's that simple. But no, he avoided it and he focused on the hindrances. He focused on the negative circumstances instead. Jesus was just wanted a yes or a no. So here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, wounds in our soul can bring a confusion over us. Say confusion. Look at real quick, Acts 3, Acts chapter 3. Just answer Jesus' question. That's all. Right? That negativity, the wounds in his soul caused him just to go back and feel sorry for himself. Listen, Acts 3, 1 through 8. Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. He was looking for money from people, right? Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He wanted money. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold do I not have." That's when the guy said, "Get out of here." No, I'm just joking. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. I love this part. Walking, leaping. Come on, don't forget this. And praising God. Now listen to this. The lame man was asking and looking for money. He was so wounded in his soul that he gave up on the possibility for his healing. Did you just hear what I said? He was so wounded in his soul, he gave up on looking for healing for his physical body. All right? He asked Peter and John for money. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter was saying this. Are you ready for this? Oh, I love this. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Peter was saying, "I have something more valuable than money. I will release the anointing, the healing power of God in your body, and you will be healed." Amen? Here, listen to this. This is what the Holy Spirit said about this. Wounds in our soul will make us lower our expectations in life. It negatively affects our identity. You know what it is? This is what the Holy Spirit said. This is what wounds in the soul do. Ready? It will give you a poverty mindset. Poverty. Most of you just went to thinking about money. No, poverty mindset covers all areas of your life. I don't deserve to be healed. Are you following me? All negative. If you're negative, you have a poverty mindset. So this is what Peter was trying to tell him. Ready? Health is more important than money. Oh, health is wealth. Amen? How many times have I heard people say that? Man, you know, health is wealth. Don't lower your expectations. Always hold on to the promises in the Word and believe God for your healing. Amen? The lame man was focused on the wrong things because of the wounds in his soul. It caused negative perspective in his life. Wounds in the soul will produce negative perspective on everything in your life. So here's what you need to do. You need to shift your focus back on the promises in the Word of God and never let them go in your heart. Don't let them go. Stop meditating on negative thoughts. I'm on the last page, by the way. Stop meditating on negative thoughts and start meditating on the Word of God, on positive thoughts that promote your purpose and the will of God for your life. Get your focus, your eyes off of yourself and start blessing and ministering to other people. I'm telling you right now, people who have depression and heaviness, what's the one thing that they do? It's always about them. Always about them. Oh, boo-hoo me. Oh, it's always a... No, get your eyes outside of you. Amen. You need to ask yourself this. How can I improve the lives of people around me? Amen. How can I be a blessing to people around me in my circle, in my life that I come in contact with? Get fed up. Here's what you need to do. Get fed up. Being emotionally numb in this life. Learn to feel again. Learn to feel again. Get rid of that numbness. Learn to take advantage of and experience the fullness of this life that God has given you. Amen. It's time to shift your focus and perspective on life. It's time to change. I like to say it this way. It's time to change the lens that you have been viewing life through up to this point. Here's, now, oh, listen to this. This is, write this down, put it in your memory bank. Are you ready for this? The condition of our brain determines how our natural eyes see. The condition of our soul determines how our spiritual eyes see. And that's perspective. The condition of your soul determines our perception, our perspective of life. How will you know that your soul is healed? How will you know? Right? We're talking about getting healed and restored in your soul. The obvious question is then, Pastor James, how will I know that at least this process is in effect? How will I know? Are you ready for this? You will begin to see life through positive, faith-filled, hope-filled spiritual lens. When you start to shift and your perspective shifts, you know there's a work going on in your soul. Until that happens, nothing's happening until your perspective shifts. So, church, it's time for us to renew our mind with the Word of God, And by doing that, we are positioning ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit to restore our soul. Nothing has or ever will happen in our life that's too big that the Holy Spirit can't restore, reset, or heal our soul. So, church, let's invite and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the restoration and healing process of our life. Hallelujah. Let's stand up in this place. Restoration of the soul. Hallelujah. Now, there's a practical word for you to take home. Amen. Prayer team, come on forward. If there's anybody in here you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, today is the day of salvation. Do not leave here. Do not leave here until you make Him Lord of your life. I'm begging you. You've got to make Him Lord of your life. Come up and pray with one of our prayer team members. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath on this earth. You just don't. You don't know. So make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, in connection to this message, maybe you're one where you're like, Pastor James, that message, the Holy Spirit was speaking directly to me. I feel the wounds in my soul. I have so much pain, and I want to be set free and healed of that. I want to just invite you to come up to one of our prayer team members and just simply say, hey, pray for me because this message touched me, and I want that healing and restoration in my soul. Amen. Rededicate your life to Jesus. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come forward. They'll pray with you to receive. Amen. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Now, keep in mind, I might be throwing out a message. And I guess, are we just canceling everything then for this week? Probably. I mean, because they started on it. So I guess, what's that? Yeah, okay. I'll throw it out on Facebook, but we're most likely canceling, okay? But anyways, happy Mother's Day. Go out, have great food and fellowship. If you need anything, you know where to find me. Love you all. Have a great week.